The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was and wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Now I realize it's the middle of summer. Apparently we all now live in Florida. This is new to me. Yesterday's weather. Maybe back in D.C., Becky, I don't know. Familiar? So I know that you aren't exactly thinking about this, but I want you to think about your Thanksgiving table, just for a moment. Take yourself to Thanksgiving. And I want you to think about who is someone that you do not want at your Thanksgiving table. Who is one person, go with me, the Brits here, where I'm going to bring you along here. But who is the one person that would make you so uncomfortable to be there, it would ruin your whole dinner? Who is the one person that it would be hard for you to be hospitable to? In short, who is it you would be happy to keep out? Yeah, just one. Yeah, maybe you have more, Helen. You can. So, given that, let me reverse that for a second, and I want to think about some point. I picked on Judy Soper at the early service about golfing, you know. When was the last time you were left out? And I said, Judy, when's the last time your girlfriends all went golfing without you and they forgot to call you? Or maybe you had said you wanted to go see this movie and everybody went to go see it without you. Or there was some gathering and you were not invited and you knew that you had been left out. Or at work, ever had that big important meeting take place and you aren't in the meeting room, you're still at your desk? So I find this interesting because, or I bring this up because I think we live in a society and in a culture that constantly is asking us to decide who is in and who is out. Who can I gather around me, and who do I not have to gather around me, or who do I not want to gather around me, and I now have enough position, power, place, that I don't have to engage those other people. And I think that this is very much like essentially what was going on in both our gospel and in the time of the writing of the Ephesians, in that there were these divisions. The Jews were over here and the Gentiles were over here, and not only did the Jews and the Gentiles not really eat together, they wouldn't even think about inviting their neighbor over for supper. I mean, it was just beyond. They crossed paths when necessary, but there was certainly no relationship between the two, no community between the two. They were two separate entities coexisting in one culture and society. And what's interesting is that as we hear in the gospel today, and as we read in Ephesians, it is very clear what we know now is that Jesus brought his message of love and of light and of healing and of relationship not just to the Jews who were behaving and doing everything right, but to the whole of the community, to bring them all back into right relationship with God. And we know from the letter to the Ephesians that it wasn't just about the Jews who were to get this message. It was for everybody, the Jew and the Gentile. It was the both and. And this healing that Jesus talks about, that we hear about in the gospel, that people are running to. And I love the Gospel of Mark, right? You know, it's the quick one. And so literally today, it's Jesus is here, and everybody floods him, and he gets in his boat to go away, but everybody's already here waiting for him. And then he goes to this town, and they all flood him. And then the farms and the villages and the cities, and they're all around him. They are desperate for this message that he has to offer. Just as I find we are desperate for the same message 2,000 years later, because all of the money and position and power and the ability to exclude that we may own doesn't really fill us up in the way that the message that Jesus can fill us up. And so, how does Jesus do that? How do we do that? Jesus does it through relationship. You know, just looking at the Jews, was Jesus out hanging with the power players? He wasn't sitting at Herod's having, that would be Herod as in the man, not Herod's as in the store. He wasn't sitting at with Herod, you know, partying down as John the Baptist gets beheaded, right? No, Jesus is out in the towns. And who does Jesus eat with? The tax collectors and the prostitutes and, you know, all the people that no one wants to be with, the sinners. But Jesus' message is that it is not about keeping people out. It's about bringing people in. And that's exactly what the Ephesians reading is about. It's about kingdom living. And kingdom living is following that path of Jesus and trying to figure out how to bring people in. How do we be in relationship with each other? Because you can't share the love of Christ, you can't share the healing of Christ, you can't share the teaching of Christ or the light of Christ if you aren't in relationship. So this week, as I was trying to escape Vacation Bible School, I think it is the first year in 11 years I have no songs stuck in my head. It's a miracle. Marge back there is still suffering. You have 3 weeks to go, Marge. They should be gone by then. But as I was sitting in my office listening to children gleefully playing around the campus, I was on Facebook, where you do important sermon research, and I saw this great article by a man who has worked with the homeless, and not just worked with the homeless, but knows the homeless, is engaged with the homeless, and not just here in the States, but throughout Southeast Asia. And he had 9 tips for dealing with homeless. And as I thought about who would come to my Thanksgiving dinner or not, I know that it would probably be a challenge to invite a homeless person who I did not know to my Thanksgiving dinner. So this man runs through 9 things that you can do when you encounter the homeless. And there were 3 that struck me and have stayed with me. One was, give it up for the grannies. And I appreciated that. When you see an older person, just do what you need to do. Like, help the person out. And I liked that respect for age. But the other 2 that really caught my eye that I think speaks to the gospel and the epistle readings today are the last 2 that he mentions. One was, ask what is most loving. And that could be with the homeless, that could be with someone who you don't like, that could be with your coworker who drives you crazy, that could be with the bully on the playground, it could be your neighbor who doesn't ever do what they're supposed to do, like bring in their trash cans. I don't know what it is. But stop and ask yourself, what is most loving that I can do in this moment? Not what's right, not what is just, not what makes me a better person or they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, but what's most loving? And the other was, and this is the one that really stopped me in my tracks, is except the outside of relationship, there is little that you or I can do. Relationship, not money, not food, not clothing, not even laundry. The number one thing that we can do with someone who we see as other or outside or not welcome or not really someone I want to consort with is be in relationship. And I began to think about this with laundry love, which is where we go and we wash the clothes for the homeless. And what I realized about laundry love, now that I've been able to go a few months in a row, isn't that we get to send people home with clean clothes. That's awesome. And we should continue to support that ministry. But what's really profound about this ministry is getting to know the clients who come to us. And we know the gentleman who is going to sing us Sinatra all night long. No, he does. We get like a two-hour serenade every time you walk by. It's the mother who comes with her two children, and you can tell she can hardly wait until the pizza and the coloring books come out so that she has an opportunity to just take a breath and sort the lights and the darks and get going and leave them sitting in the chairs just so she can get a break. And it's the relationship of knowing the names of people. But it's not just laundry love. The same could be true at neighbor to neighbor, or when we take the sandwiches down to County USC, or when we pull up on the side of the road, we walk out of the grocery store, we're walking on the Strand. When it comes time for our Thanksgiving invitations, and there's that person who we just don't really want there, is to go back and think about how can we be in relationship, because it's only in relationship that we bring about the kingdom of God. It's only in relationship where we share the love and the light that Jesus has to offer us. Amen.